to Sherman.
For the Truman delegation, mm-hmm. and Jimmy Roosevelt invited me up to his home in Beverly Hills, and he was the state chairman, and he was so fussed, and he said that he had asked everybody, or he had asked all sections of the party and the labor, but somehow he completely left out the CIO, and he was... since that I had received an appointment to as the postmaster, acting postmaster of Alhambra, he wouldn't know if I was really going to the convention, although I was the very first one asked to go, and I said, well, I couldn't go if that now. So he said, Irwin, you check me. I was head of the 11 Western States for the CIO, and he just said, no, how come he left him out? And he said, that would really put him... I would have got a spot if I didn't give up my seat, but I'm off the shower.
Well,
because I was on the executive committee of the state committee there, and I had worked very closely with him, and I got more acquainted with him because of Richard Richards. He was county committee chairman, and of course, I always forget I raised him in politics.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember him, do you?
I've been reading quite a bit.
He was our
about
state
him,
senator, when we had just one senator from L.A. County for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was, before that, he was chairman of the county committee, and he is the one who, when Roosevelt first came out here, he brought him to the county committee and endorsed him, and I helped Roosevelt become state chairman. It was a big fight in the party over the Pauley interests, and who was the big oil man, and the Roosevelt interests, and Pauley was running Mr. Scully, who was a very handsome Irishman that was a real, just old-time politician, and I know at the convention in Sacramento, they always had voted by voice vote, and I was sitting in sort of the back and of the Capitol. I think we were in the assembly room, and Roosevelt come up and was sitting down beside me, and he said, "Have they always voted by voice vote?" And I said, "Well, yes, I've been coming here for years, and they always did." He said, "Is there any law that they have to?"
You were a delegate at the
Yes, I was a delegate to the mm-hmm. convention. I said, "Well, I would have no idea if there's a law." But he said, "I wish you'd make a motion that we have this by secret ballot." So I immediately jumped up and went up on the stage and grabbed the mic, and I moved it. we have a secret ballot, so I said people can vote their convictions and not their commitments. I don't know whatever made me just say that. Then all of a sudden there was just a huge clapping, and then all of it, somebody else seconded it, and it just passed practically. It just took everybody by storm, and they said yes, and by that time all their attorneys were looking up the rules, and it wasn't even mentioned. Any of the rules at that time of their procedure, whether it had to be voice vote or written vote, but it was written vote. So everybody was called individually to go up, and when I went up, Scully, oh, I always did like him, and he come up and he says, "Zita, my name doesn't end in T." They watched every arm as they wrote.
Did people have to vote one by one?
They did then.
So that must have taken quite a bit of time.
It did. It took a lot of time. But it was awfully important then. They were really, Truman was president, and they just didn't really want to I don't think he was president, but he was going to run, and he was mm-hmm. in the campaign, and they figured he'd get in, but they really wanted it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. They wanted to take over. Pauley was a friend of Truman's, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, he was, he had given Truman, loaned him an awful lot of money for the campaign, and then he had himself appointed treasurer of the National Committee, so he paid himself back. But he was awfully nice. Mm-hmm. As an individual person, he was really an awfully nice fellow.
So, did Jimmy Roosevelt know you? He must have known you then before.
Oh, yes. We worked together. In fact, I was looking through some old papers, and when I was in a hometown play there in Alhambra, he sent me roses and telegrams, and he told me I was his most consistent and best. Oh, I've just got a whole file full of letters from him that when he was state chairman, because I was awfully interested in every phase of it then. And the Pauley, I know this Scully came out to see me in Alhambra, because at the executive committee meetings, I usually had my co-chairman, who was a Mr. Cox from Pomona's proxy, because he was an attorney and he didn't go, but I read his proxy, so I always had two votes at the executive committee meetings. And Scully said, Zita, just what did I want out of politics? What did I want? And he said, oh, he just said, I'm prepared to give you anything you want. I said, well, my price is high. I said, I just want good government. And he was so, he didn't expect an answer like that. But I was awfully fond of Jimmy. And he I thought he did an awfully good job. He just come in and took over the party. But
well, when did you first come in contact with him then? Was that
just when he came to the county committee meeting. And
so he started, he became a representative on the county committee?
Yes, he was a county committee from his area, because he lived in Beverly Hills. And then the next year he ran for state committee, and he won. He was committee of southern chairman, then northern chairman. And he really did, he worked awfully hard at it. Of course, in 50, he ran for governor.
So, but this is... But how much time that was before he
was? Yeah, it could have been 46.
But you got to know him when you were on the county committee. And
yes.
Then, so did you help him get into the state committee positions? I mean,
well, I helped him get state chairmanship. I really campaigned awfully hard for him. And I had been going so much that I knew so many of the people. And I really helped him get the state chairmanship. And then before that, in the 40s, Helen DeHagen Douglas was women's division chairman. And the same thing that Travis. No, Travis is women's state chairman. There's a... Women have more offices than men do now. It's really sort of stupid in a way when they're, because there's a women's chairman north and a women's chairman south. Then there's a women's state chairman. And she's women's state chairman. Now, before that, there was just a women's chairman north and one south. There wasn't a women's state chairman.
Did they alternate then?
Yes,
in terms of chair, just
yes,
like
yes, they alternated.
Well, just branching out briefly about the women's division, do you feel, well, I realize now that there's something to remove to end the women's division.
Yes, and just integrate it in the party.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they'll get as much work done, because it's the women that do the work anyway. But we've had one woman state chairman, and that's Elizabeth Snyder. And they've never had another one, but she was the... They've never had another woman state chairman. But because now they have a man state chairman and a woman state chairman. And now there could never be a, you know, when they have the two jobs, maybe it is sort of silly.
But when you said that, what is the women's division, what has it done traditionally? Is it
Well, of course, they say that every woman that's a registered Democrat belongs to the women's division. And I don't think they've done an awful lot to really reach the people, other than the people that are on the state committee and county committee. But they used to have meetings in well, Helen DeHagen Douglas having in her home and in the office. She was, Polly interests were in charge of the, and they never gave her any money as women's chairman, so she had to go make her own money. Mm-hmm. And we had all the different congressional districts would bring in big crowds, and they had big meetings every year, every month, and different hostesses would bring something to eat for them from the different districts. But that wasn't done after Helen. They just have big meetings now when they have some big shot come, and they're always fundraisers. But I wish they could do something to let the ordinary person know that he was sort of part of the party. Mm-hmm. And the only way that they made that feel quite a few years ago when they had the Dollars for Democrats drive. Mm-hmm. And they we had that so well organized in Long Beach. We organized it by consulmanic districts and had a chairman in each district, and the Democrats were all called on. Mm-hmm. And we just don't have organization. It's just hard to get it. People aren't, they just won't, they're just, what's in it for me? and nothing much is in it for them, so they just, it's awfully hard to build an organization when things are on sort of a non-political basis. I guess in the East, where they had the machines, when three or four uncles and the cousin's job depended on the party getting in power, then they could get up the enthusiasm. But we did. We got pretty good enthusiasm for that Dollars for Democrats. And here I got a call the other day from somebody who gave their name and said they were Dollars for Democrats, the chairman. And I said, where are you calling from? She said, Chicago. I said, well, where am I supposed to send my money? She said, well, to the state committee in San Francisco. And I said, well, I've never heard anything about it. And I said, I had just received this letter from the state committee. And I said, I haven't heard a word about it. She says, you haven't? And so she said, well, I'll see that you'll hear about it. But that was sort of funny, wasn't it? Yeah. To call from Chicago for a dollar.
Cost him a dollar.
I thought it was awfully odd. But they changed now, like this here, that California, it isn't California State Central Committee, it's California Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. They've just changed the name so people will feel like it's more. And here this is the Women's Division, California Democratic Party. So I thought that was a little plan, and because people, all these committees, they get the county committee and the state committee mixed up, and all those things.
Well, I know I've been trying to take sort of a crash course in all of this myself, and it took me a little while.
It is confusing. Mm-hmm. And of course the county committees are elected and the state committees are appointed, and they're having big conferences now on changing the state committee process to electing those who have first served on the county committee. But I don't think that's so. The county committee people are elected, and that doesn't mean they're going to do anymore. And the state committee are appointed by the nominees of the party who know what they have done in the party, and they can, if they don't function, they can remove them and appoint somebody else. Well, you can't do that to an elected member of the county committee. They're there for 2 years no matter what. I don't think it's such a good plan, but then I think maybe I'm in the minority on it, because
why would people want to change that?
Well, it's not the plan that's adopted by most other states. Mm-hmm. And they say there's a way. In fact, this is conference that I'm going up to in January is all on that, to change the structure of the party, because they say that the National Committee could refuse to accept our delegates in a way. But I don't know what the delegates to the conventions are chosen by an entirely different setup. That I don't know where that would come in on it at all, because if you're on the state committee, that doesn't automatically give you a chance to be a delegate. In fact, the McGovern guidelines, what we had to follow last time, should be eliminated. It wasn't fair at all. Mm-hmm. They just had to have so many minorities, so many unions, so many this age group, so many that age group. And a cute little girl come in. We had our caucus for the Humphrey, this was 4 years ago, for the Humphrey delegation at Wilson High. And an awfully bright-looking little girl came in. She looked like she was about 18, but she was 23 or 4, and she was a teacher here in the schools. But nobody had ever heard of her. She'd never done a thing for Humphrey. But because it seems as though everybody that was there were from 40 to 70, and so they just automatically elected her because she was... had to have that age group filled. Well, she went back to the convention. She was with some boyfriend. We never had the hardest time getting to her for the meetings. And
were you also a delegate?
Yes, but it was just, now Cora Cox and I had a hard time both being delegates because we were sort of from the same age group and the same political background. And you know, Cora, you've met her maybe. She's, but they switched it, ours wasn't even, but the states was even altogether. They complied with the guidelines. But this little girl wasn't there at the most crucial vote, and then when she came back during the campaign, she never did a thing for Humphrey. Well, now, there were people there that had worked their heads off just dying to be a delegate, and it wasn't right that she got to be, just because some fluky law.
Well, so when you started, was the time that you were going to be a member of the Truman delegate, was that your first time being a national convention delegate?
Yes, I never could go before because, you know, you always have to pay your own way. Mm-hmm. And my kids were little, and I was asked to be several times, but I just didn't think I could do it.
The first time you asked was with this Truman delegate with... delegation.
That's the first time I was really going to go.
And then you had been appointed postmaster by Sheridan Downey.
Yeah.
Do you know exactly why did Sheridan Downey choose you for the postmaster job? Had he had contact with you before?
Well, I worked for him, but I had never met him.
Mm-hmm.
But I applied for it, and I was an awfully good friend of Mike Fanning's, who was postmaster of L.A., and I think he did a lot
mm-hmm.
for me. I always felt that he did, although we never said he did, but I think that he called the senator several times. And, mm-hmm. and well, I think that he took more of an interest because he had, there was a fellow that worked for the L.A. post office that was such a troublemaker, and I guess he was a bright fellow, but he resigned in... Well, no, he was still working in there, but he lived in Alhambra, and you had to live in the, and he was fighting for it, and Mike didn't want him to get it. Sometimes that's the reason people work for one, but I just thought that maybe that...
Is it the Hatch Act thing prevented you from being a delegate?
Uh-huh.
Okay, this year, though, did you work for Truman? I mean... In 48, even though you knew that...
Oh, honey, I sure did all I could, but, of course, when you were right in, he was vice president then,
mm-hmm.
and you just couldn't, I couldn't do too much, but I sure did all I could do for him.
Okay, and how long, you were postmaster for about 18 months or so?
About 2 years.
About 2 years?
Uh-huh.
And I also heard that you worked for Steve Zetterberg.
Zetterberg, there was a young fellow that lived in Alhambra that was the head of the Veterans Bureau, and he was a retired colonel and a Baptist minister. And he was, well, he wasn't working at his ministry, but he was a retired chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, he was so mad that I wouldn't work for him, and he'd, Steve, you know, do you know Steve?
No.
Oh, he is the nicest fellow. He looks like Abe Lincoln, tall and lanky and... sort of homely and sort of deliberate and just the nicest fellow. And we had all endorsed him. You know, our district had the first console movement in the state.
Actually, you mentioned that really briefly in one thing. Now, was Richard Richards from your district?
Yes, okay. he was, I imagine he was born in San Gabriel and raised there and went to Alhambra High and mm-hmm. and then went to USC and then Harvard. And he was, honestly, I think politics lost a great guy when he was defeated for U.S. Senate. I never knew any human being that could speak on his feet like Richards. He was just great, just absolutely
great. Did
the
Council movement start with Richards in your
No, it really started under Jerry Voorhees. He said when he came back that the county committee had asked him when he was a congressman mm-hmm. in Washington. He said, and that was such a big district, the old 12, that started with the L.A. county line, went clear, including Claremont, that took in Whittier and Monrovia, and all the little towns and all the little clubs and all the state
this
committees and counties
here.
Committees. And so he asked, he said, why can't we form an organization that includes delegates from all these organizations? And we usually met in Pomona or El Monte High on a Sunday. Then there were three assembly districts in that. Then we formed our own councils. And when Richard Richards and Helen Myers and all the people that formed the first council, they had our bylaws and they just formed them statewide. They were just so amazed to get out of the district to find all districts didn't have a council like we did.
So did you happen to have anywhere maybe a copy of those bylaws? Or do you know where they'd be available?
I wish old Delano made them. Honey, I've got everything.
Delano,
he was the attorney there, mm-hmm. but he's not living. He isn't living, but
he made
the original. We worked two or three nights in his office, and of course, being he's a very sharp attorney, they were awful good bylaws. In fact, I've got the books of the minutes of our meetings and everything. Mm-hmm. I've got that shed out there, and I've got. And that's what I'm going to do is try to assemble all those mm-hmm. things because it doesn't do any good to have them if you don't know where to go get them. Yeah. But we really, the old 12th consul was the first, really the best, the first consul. Then Cranston called the first state meeting for the whole state council.
And that was at Sillimore.
Mm-hmm. And I had moved to Long Beach then. That was in the early, about 52.
So in 52, you moved to
Long Beach. Yeah.
Okay. Let's backtrack a little bit then before that. So Richards first ran in about 48 for state senator. Was that about his first year? Or was our, when did, I was just wondering when he first
I think so. Mm-hmm. He was state, of course you were senator 4 years and he was state senator for quite a while, so maybe he got it in 46. Or when would be a senator term? It's not when 50, 52, 54, 52 to 54, 54, 50 was the senators are every 4 year term.
50 was a governor.
50 was a governor. Well, that's when Roosevelt and Hagen ran for senator.
And governor. Roosevelt ran for governor.
Yeah, Roosevelt for governor and Helen Hagen Douglas for senator.
Hey, you were working for Helen Hagen Douglas in 50. And did you know her then from the state central committee?
Yes, I knew her real well.
When did you first start working for the county and central committees? I know you were active on campaigns a lot earlier in this. When did you move into?
Well, I was first appointed by Noren, who was our assemblyman. Mm-hmm. I moved to Alhambra in 36, and I think by 38 I was on the state committee.
On the state committee?
Uh-huh, okay. Being appointed by Mr. Noren, then I was appointed by, I was appointed by Richards before he was elected because he was our nominee. The nominees get to appoint, mm-hmm. but we were from Republican district, and he never could elect anybody. He had to get a, he had to move out of the district before he could get elected. But he never was elected in our district. He was elected state senator after he moved to Los Angeles. But he appointed me, and then Jerry Voorhees appointed me. Mm-hmm. And then when I came down, then I ran for the county committee there and was elected.
And what year did you run for the county committee?
Well, I must have ran for it in 50.
Mm-hmm. Because after your question.
Because when I came here, I was still on the county committee, and they told me I didn't have to resign. But because it's all over the county, but I was supposed to represent that district. But Kinnick wanted to appoint me on the state committee, so he told me, he said he'd get a lot of criticism if he'd appoint, you know, that's all the Democrats have is a few titles. So I resigned from the county committee there, and he appointed me to the state committee right away here. Mm-hmm. Then I was appointed by Kinnick, and I've been by Shell and by Griffin when he was the assembly candidate. Mm-hmm. And I'm appointed by Simpson. I managed his candidate when he ran for the Congress.
Now they can appoint what, 3 people each? Or?
Well, up to there at that time they appointed one other of the same sex and two of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. But then incumbents get a bonus. They get more.
Right.
More appointees.
Mm-hmm.
I think 2 more. One more of their sex and another one the opposite sex.
So why do you think they chose you? Would that be because just knowing you from working with you?
Well, I got right in busy, and Kinnick had offices out there on, well, it was really funny how I got acquainted with Kinnick. There was a fellow that, Wade, he was a brother of our Wade, who was mayor here, and he was a big shot Democrat that I couldn't stand, and he was on the county committee here, and he'd come and pick me up to take me into L.A. to the meetings, and he was raving and ranting how he had all the signatures of the executive committee, because it was going to be determined. Well, before that, to back up, we had a Republican win the Democratic nomination here.
This is in the
cross-filing. And Burke, old Monteville Burke, won the Democratic and Republican nomination. And how was that? No, that was for Congress. That was there for Congress. That wasn't Burke. It was somebody else. Maybe it was Monteville. No, it wasn't Monteville Burke. I forget who it was. But anyway, we had no candidate because we had the Republican win both of them, both the Democrat and the Republican one. So the state committee had to name, the executive board of the state committee had to name a candidate. And Wade kept saying that he was going to be the candidate because he had it all cinched. So he was saying that he didn't know that it wouldn't be the old state committee. It would be the new state committee that did it. He figured that it would be the old. He just didn't know. So I didn't.
52?
Yeah, I didn't tell him that it would be the new state committee, but I told Kinnick. And so I got, I worked so in Sacramento. I called on everybody at in their rooms after they'd gone to bed to vote for Kinnick, and the vote lasted 3 or 4 in the morning, and they still couldn't get it settled, so they had to call an adjourn meeting, and they appointed Kinnick as the congressional candidate, and not poor Wade, Harry Wade.
What made you decide to get behind Kinnick?
Oh, I just couldn't stand Wade. He was so obnoxious and so, just his personality, I just couldn't stand him. But so I did him some dirty work.
Well, so it seems that to be able to do that, by 52, you must have had quite a bit of understanding in terms of how all of that worked.
Well, it doesn't take long to get that. You know, you just knew it.
Mm-hmm.
because you were there, and you know, if you.
So you started with under Hugo Noren.
Hugo Noren, I think, appointed me. He was our
first time you're on the state.
I think so. Yes.
And you did you. Did you find any differences of, would you be in the, there you had 50-50 at that time.
Yeah.
Right, so there had to be another woman appointed by him also.
Yes.
Did he generally choose people who had worked on the campaign?
Yes. Yeah, he did. But then I was on the